Carnivores Don't Get Sunburn. Hosted by Carrie Mann. Dive into the extraordinary journey of rediscovering optimal health through the carnivore diet. Here, we share powerful transformations from reversing chronic illnesses to achieving peak human potential. Each episode, we'll explore the real stories of those who've turned their lives around, embracing a diet that's as natural as the sun. Stay tuned as we uncover the science, the success stories, and the secrets to thriving on this ancestral diet. Plus, don't miss our exciting documentary highlights featuring a diverse range of carnivore champions. Ready to challenge the conventional? Let's get started.
How long ago was your MS diagnosis?
I started getting symptoms 10 years ago, and then I got into the carnivore diet. And that's why I did, because I wanted to help my brain. She said to me, you might feel better, but it's not going to help you. You know, you might feel healthier, but it's not going to help the MS. She kind of shrugged and she said, no diet will help you. This is a progressive, debilitating disease. You may go blind. You may go deaf. You might end up in a wheelchair with a walker. It was very discouraging and devastating to hear. They do like a sobriety test, basically. 2 times ago, I couldn't do 3 steps. I got into the carnivore diet. I can go 20 feet across the whole room, toe to heel to toe, and I can go backwards like the moonwalk.
Nice. I'm going to go show off. Start dancing.
I think that if I had been eating high fat meat, I wouldn't have gotten this. Don't feel bad for me. I'm thriving.
Quick interruption. Did you know we have an incredible membership site for you called healinghumanity.life? We have a special offer going on right now. Learn more at the link in the description. We have courses. We have expert Q&As with the good doctors. We even have a Healing Humanity Heroes Zoom call once a week, highlighting real heroes that will inspire you on a path to healing. The community is wonderful. We're going to be implementing a buddy system so you can be held accountable, recipes, all sorts of great stuff to help you on a path to healing. Learn more at the link in the description below.
Hello and welcome. Carrie here from Healing Humanity, the power of a proper human diet. And today I'm thankful, grateful, and blessed to welcome Diane to the channel. Welcome, Diane. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Carrie. Thank you. Thank you for having me here. I really appreciate this. This is fun seeing you again. The last time I saw you was at your meetup.
It was so much fun.
That was a blast.
I had a great time. I'm looking forward to doing more of those inspiring carnivore stories live.
It was interesting
talking to you. I heard a little bit of your story, so I'm glad we're able to sit down here and share more of your story. Maybe if we could start out, could you tell us a little bit, what led you to carnivore diet? What sort of health issues did you have that sort of put you on this path?
Well, I started with YouTube University last winter, and saw you online, and as well as Dr. Kiltz and Dr. Chafee, all the good doctors, and was hearing about this carnivore diet. I have multiple sclerosis. I was diagnosed in 2016. And just at that time, last fall to last winter, I started feeling really ill. And my brain was going offline. I was having a hard time with word retrieval. And I was researching, trying to find an answer that may help me. And I started watching YouTube. And I don't know, at first, like many people that I hear, I was like, I don't think so. I can't just eat meat. You know, how could I do that? And then one day in March 5th, I started. I said, I'm going to try it for 30 days. And I did. And It's been 255 days and I've been so faithful with it. A couple of times I did go off of it, like to have a little alcohol, a little cheese, and immediately I got reactions to it and then immediately went back. So
what sort of things did you notice after starting carnivore?
Yeah, it was probably after 9 days. I wasn't really quite sure, but I was feeling less fatigued. I was having debilitating fatigue, just not being able to get going in the morning, a lot of sleeping, and a lot of in the afternoon, even getting more tired. And I was finding that I was able to get through my day a lot easier and doing more things. And just the fog lifted and the brain fog was gone, and just felt a whole lot better. And it was very, 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 it was very recognizable. It was like one day I wasn't, then one day I was feeling good. It just came on like that. And then when I did have either a little alcohol or a little cheese, the very next day I felt sick. So it was just so obvious that the diet was working.
Can you talk a little bit more about your MS? What was that like being diagnosed, and what exactly is MS?
I'm glad you asked that, because I was wondering if, you know, well, it's one of those things that people say MS and they get a certain picture in their head. And when the doctor told me that I had that diagnosis, it was very devastating. I did a lot of research. Can I eat a certain way? Can I exercise? What can I do? And the doctor said to me, I brought her, there's this woman, her name is Terry Walls, and she has the Walls Protocol. And she is a woman that had MS, and she's actually cured herself with this protocol. And it is paleo. She calls it Walls Paleo. And I immediately went on it, and I brought it to my doctor, and I said, is this going to help me? And she kind of shrugged and she said, no diet will help you. This is a progressive, debilitating disease. You may go blind. You may go deaf. You may end up not ambulatory. You might end up in a wheelchair with a walker. It just depends on how you go, which was, it was very discouraging and devastating to hear. I've always been a very healthy person. I've always been someone who works out, someone who diets, who's very interested in their health. And to get that sort of diagnosis and hear that there's really nothing you can do, it just, you just lose hope. I did the Walls Protocol anyway. She said to me, you might feel better, but you know, it's not going to help you. You know, you might feel healthier, but it's not going to help the MS. So I did it on and off, and I did feel a little better, but not like this, not like carnivore. And I've always been a low carb person. I've always been a dieter, probably not the best type of dieter, more like restriction and calorie counting and things like that. But when I went on a Walls Paleo, I kind of went on and off of it. And I tried keto, back to Walls Paleo. And that's really where I was for like 7.5 years. But right before I tried carnivore, that really the year and a half before that, I was a therapist, a mental health therapist, and I had in my practice, I was just too fatigued to even work and to listen to people all day and to work all day. So I was home for a year and a half before I discovered carnivore.
How long ago was your MS diagnosis?
I started getting symptoms 10 years ago, but it takes a while to diagnose. So the diagnosis was in 2016.
And what sort of symptoms were you having?
I had extreme fatigue. That was like my main thing. The way that it started is very interesting. So I was going to Boston College to get my graduate degree at the time. And I always liked to speak in classes and, you know, raise my hand when the professor asked a question. And it seemed like every time I was to speak, like if someone asked me a question, I was to speak, I would get like garbled. Like it felt like my lips and my tongue were numb. And it was a very, it felt like when you were frost, when you were out in the cold and you had extreme cold in your mouth and almost like frostbite in a way. So this went on to the right before graduation. So much of the fact I went up to my professors and I said, I'm not drinking. don't think that I'm, you know, taking drugs or drinking or whatever. It's just, this is happening to me and I don't know why. And so I went to the doctor and he took an MRI and he just kind of shrugged his shoulders and said, I don't know what's going on. Come back in 8 months. So then I went back 8 months later and I had another MRI and he had retired or he had moved out of his practice and there was someone taken out over for him. And they just never got back to me with the MRI. And I kept on calling and calling. What did that MRI say? Oh, it looks good. I said, do you think I should come in and talk to a doctor? And they said, yeah, if you want to. And that's when I went in and the doctor said, yeah, if my brain looked like this, I think I would want to get tested for multiple sclerosis. And I was just like floored out of nowhere, you know?
Wow.
So then the testing started and it's very extensive. They do a lot of, tests. They do they test the nerves in your legs. They do MRIs, they do spinal taps and everything. And then the last thing is they go to an ophthalmologist and they test the eyes. And there were two conditions that were indicative of MS. And it was after the eye exam that they gave me a positive diagnosis for that. So, but what MS is, you had asked that, it's a degenerative disease of the nerves in the brain. So the neurons, there's the cell, and then there is an axon and the dendrites, and the nerves attach to each other. And that's how the neurons in the brain communicate with each other to give you, when you have a thought or if you have an emotion, anything that happens, your brain has neurons that communicate with each other throughout the brain, the spinal cord, all the way down the spinal cord, the thoracic and the cervical spine. And when the myelin sheath on the nerve, so what happens is your immune system attacks it and it unravels almost like a cord, like an electrical cord, how there's that plastic on the outside of an electrical cord. That's what the myelin sheath is. And it frays it so your neuron cannot communicate with the next neuron and it gets slower and slower and it eventually dies. And when a group of neurons die, you get a lesion that is, you can see this lesion on an MRI. So that's how it's diagnosed primarily. And when you see, I guess they accumulate in certain areas, that's indicative of multiple sclerosis. So once the nerve dies, it's gone. They say you cannot regenerate. Your brain can work around that because your brain has plasticity. So your brain can kind of work around that area that's damaged. And you can kind of feel that. And they call that relapsing remitting multiple sclerosis, where you get relapses of certain symptoms and then they kind of remit. And then you get a relapse. It might be something different. So you might have extreme fatigue that might last throughout the disease, but the fatigue will get a little bit better and then get worse and then get better and get worse. And the same with balance. I have issues with balance, although it's getting better, but your balance gets bad. And then even like things like anxiety or like an illness, like I just had the, I can't say it online, the abuse of the sea. And I found that the symptoms started coming back to me. So much better now. It's been almost 3 weeks. So, but yeah, it makes things kind of flare up.
Right. That's a great explanation. When they diagnosed you, did you have any hope? Is there a standard of care, treatment, anything you can do that give you some hope for this? Or,
well, yes and no. So the hopeless part is it's never going to get better, is what they tell you. It's never going to get better. Unless the relapsing, remitting, you might get a little better, a little worse, a little better, a little worse. So that, you know, that's to me a little bit hopeless. But they have these medications, very, very strong medications. And I saw a woman that you just interviewed. She had these same therapies. They're called B-cell therapies. So you're probably a little bit aware of those, where they wipe out your immune system. So it leaves you vulnerable to catching, you know, certain colds and flus and different things. But they do that so that your immune system won't attack your brain. So I go every 6 months and have an infusion of this drug called Ocrevus. And it takes a few hours and you just kind of lay there and let them do it. And then I'm good for 6 months. But when I started, I was on a medication called Copaxone, which was an injectable. So I injected myself with it a few times a week. And that they start off like with the light therapies that don't kill your liver and kill your immune system. They start slow. And then I went to a different medication called Tecfidera, because that they were doing MRIs and they said, well, this, you kind of failed this one. You know, this one, you're still getting lesions. So you go to the next one. So that's Tecfidera. It's like a group of medications. And so I'm on the third tier of medications now, which are the most, the strongest, I would say. Yeah. Okay. So I actually see my doctor tomorrow. So this is going to be interesting. So when I see the doctor, they do like a sobriety test, basically. So you stand on one leg, you stand on the other leg, you do this, you know, you touch your nose, each hand, they test your reflexes. And then she has you walk down the hall, heel to toe, one foot right in front of the other. And last time I went, no, two times ago, I couldn't do three steps. I was like falling over. Last time I did like five, and I had just started the carnivore diet. So it was like probably a month. And I've been kind of practicing. I've been doing my balance exercises. And now I can walk. I have a room, like a family room that's like 20 feet. I can go 20 feet across the whole room, toe to heel to toe. And I can go backwards like the moonwalk.
Nice. Showing off.
I'm going to go show off.
Start dancing.
Oh, yeah. Do cartwheels, back bends. So, you know, I want to talk to her about it. She's not open to hearing about diets and stuff. But you know what? This is my care. It's my body.
Right.
You know, I'm just going to perhaps either extend the treatment for another, you know, say let's wait a few months, or see if she wants to go to a lesser medication, like go back to the level two, the tier two, or and still see her, every 6 months, still have her in case of anything. Right. You know, I don't want to fire her. I mean, she's been a good doctor, although she, you know, she doesn't. No doctors do. They're trained on medication, right? So right. This is what we're finding. They want you go. You say you have migraines, they give you medication for migraines. You go, you say you have, you know, a sore foot, they give you a painkiller. It's how they're trained,
right?
You know, it's not any doctor's fault.
I have heard several really encouraging stories of people with MS. My buddy Dave Mack, he's interviewed 800 people now. I think he's had five or six, maybe even more than that, people with MS doing carnivore diet. And I remember one of them, he was telling me they did a scan and they saw the lesion, and then they did another scan. It was like a year after carnivore, and it was like gone. It was just crazy.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I'm curious about that. I have never heard that, but wouldn't that be amazing to go in and have the radiologist go, what, is this the same brain?
Right, yes.
What's going on here, you know? And yeah.
Have you heard? I'm sorry.
The medications that they give me do not cure it. So if they found that, it wouldn't be due to the medications. The medications only, let me see if I can get this straight. So there's a 40% chance of not progressing quickly. So it's not a lot. You know, right. It's not like they're saying they can stop this from progressing. There's only a 40% chance that it will slow down or something. It's not very hopeful. But, I mean, that's all they have. That's all the medical community has.
Right. So do you feel like Carnivore is helping you on this journey? Or if you met someone that was just diagnosed with MS, is it something you'd suggest to them?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I want to tell everybody, not just people with MS, but everybody. You know, I'm a mental health therapist, so I'm very interested in what George Eade and Chris Palmer are finding out. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing. The stories. I mean, I read George Eade's book, and to me, and you know, what's so interesting too. I worked in private practice, and I also worked for a company. And when I was going to school, I worked for a hospital. And I used to just notice how people, I mean, the hospital just feeds you so horribly. You know, you go in and the food is just horrible. And when I was in private practice and when I worked in the clinic, I just noticed that so many people had stomach problems as well as mental health problems. I was starting to do my own. And this is before, you know, I always like to eat healthy. What is healthy? I don't know. But I always noticed that people had like GI issues and intestinal things. They were getting tested. Like I would say 60 or 70% of the people that I saw, it was very, very common to have both stomach issues and mental health issues.
Yeah.
And it just kind of, I was curious about it.
It's really eye-opening. My whole life with all my depression and anxiety, I always thought it's something up here. There's something off, but I've since learned from Dr. Georgia Eade and Chris Palmer and some of these others. Right. It's all in your gut, the serotonin, all of that's made in your gut. I think a big part, Diane, too, I've started talking about this more on my channel. It's kind of uncharted territory, but our gut bacteria, gut biome, I think plays a big role. They already know that plays a big role in having a strong or weak immune system, but also depression, anxiety, things like that. There's also, it's so interesting how you were just saying this with the stomach issues, like autism. I have heard most people that have autism also have stomach issues, like you just mentioned. There's definitely a tie in there. I keep going down the rabbit hole of all this stuff on carnivore, and that was one of the things I realized. I'm like, I think everybody that does carnivore, whether they realize it or not, they're healing their damaged guts. Standard American diet, sugar, seed oils, all of these chemicals and toxins. It's like our collective guts are just absolutely destroyed. And a lot of people don't realize that. It comes normal after a while. You do it for years and years and decades. You're just like, my stomach always feels kind of weird like that, but probably really shouldn't be normal.
So there's the gut wall that gets permeated, right?
Yeah.
But there's also a blood-brain barrier so that not only does it cross your gut, but it goes into your bloodstream and it can cross the blood-brain barrier. So that was one of the things that I read about MS. It's interesting because the doctor only has so much time to teach you what's going on. Right. You have to do your own work. You have to read the studies. You have to look at what people are saying about this, and you have to discern. I mean, some doctors are saying if you had mono when you were younger, mono is, you know, they said there was one study that said everyone in the study that had MS also had mono. Growing up, it doesn't mean that everyone that has mono will get MS, but everyone that in this particular study had mono. I had mono when I think I was 20, so that is a risk factor. The blood-brain barrier, also mitochondria. There's tons of studies about mitochondria in the brain. There's one thing. I know you experience this. When you have a carnivore brain, you have these deep thoughts and you get these connections here and there. You know, you start thinking about these things. And I was thinking about the seed oils, right? And I think it was Ben Bickman was talking about how when you eat seed oils, you then make your bilipid cell membranes and all the things that your skin, you make that out of these toxic seed oils. And he mentioned something about the brain. And I was thinking, if I'm making my myelin sheath from seed oil, no wonder why my body's rejecting it. It's nothing that this body has ever seen before, right? So we don't recognize seed oils. They're man-made the past 100 years.
Right.
Less than that, right? So if you're eating these things and making your body from these materials, they're not human. They're chemical.
Right.
So no one has ever said this. I would love to see a study, and I would love if someone is hearing this, I would love to have their comments on that. But
I was just gonna say, it's huge. It's one of these things where most people are just like, I'm sure it's fine. It's not that bad. But then you look at the history of mankind since the start of time, we never had these things. It's like a mass scale science experiment that we're risking our health for. And I'm sure it's just fine. Even on the seed oils too, there's been some people talking about, I always get in trouble with this, people get mad, but like not getting sunburn on carnivore. And a big reason that a lot of people suggest, I think Dr. Chafia said this as well, is because you're not having seed oils. And these seed oils get into our skin, get into our cells, and you're more susceptible to burning. You're in a state of higher inflammation because of it.
Mm-hmm.
What's it doing to our organs? What's it doing to our brains? It's all going through all of that, the rest of our bodies and brains. This is a really good point. That's one of the things that carnivore epiphanies that drives me nuts is just how humans, I think it's because of the brain fog or I don't know, just the way the brain is that we normalize these things. No, it's just fine. It's fine. Like when you look at seed oils too, they're literally tank lubricants. These are like horrible chemical toxins. You're like, oh, we could just eat them. Like what? It's so dumb. It's so stupid. And everyone's like, oh, we'll save a little bit of money. Let's just do it. It's crazy. Especially I always like to tell people, just look at the grand scale of things. For as long as humans have been breathing air and drinking water, we weren't consuming those things, and now everyone's getting sicker and sicker. It shouldn't be normalized. Are there other sort of carnivore epiphanies you've had now that you've been doing this for a while, or do you look at the world kind of differently?
Yeah, it's amazing that you're seeing things from a different perspective, right? So you're looking at the food that was in your cabinet, and it's not even food. Right. So it's amazing. I mean, I shop the sales. I buy beef mainly, some chicken, some fish, and food shopping is so easy. Just going to the grocery store, you don't even do this whole surrounding of the store. You just go halfway. I get some dairy, and I get my husband's doing this with me, but he still wants dairy and he does blueberries. That's how he's kind of stuck, but the rest of it he'll eat with me. So it's simple. You know, it's simple. Carnivore is simple, but it's not easy. So it's simple because there are only a few ingredients, a few things that you eat, and they're easy to prepare. And you don't have to think about it. You don't have to make, you know, a shopping list and a list of like a menu for the week. It's the same, right? It's, you know what you're supposed to eat, you know what you're not supposed to eat, just eat meat, right? But it's not easy.
Right.
Because the world doesn't make it easy. And I think that's what a lot of people get hung up when they start is, you know, it's the social, it's the cultural, it's all those things that we've been in, you know, since day one. All the people we meet with since day one. And then they see this change in us. And it's like, whoa, what are you doing? You can't just eat meat. Yeah, I can. And I have been.
Right.
And look, try me. I'm doing good.
Right.
And then people will be like, oh, I feel so bad for you.
Yeah.
Like, don't feel bad for me. I'm thriving. Don't feel bad for me.
Right. And then I always try to be nice, but I'm like, I'm thinking that about you. Like, I feel bad for you because you're hooked on that stuff and you don't realize it. Isn't it crazy, Diane, how everything's so backwards? You're doing carnivore. You're thriving, probably better than you felt most of your life. But now people feel bad for you. Like, people should be happy for you.
So bad for you.
You're so right.
It takes time, though. You know, like, I mean, if you're a very social person and you go out for drinks with your neighbors and your friends and your family, and you know, you go out for apps, or if you go to restaurants, there's a huge adjustment. There's a huge adjustment to how you live your life.
Right.
You know, and there was a time where I was like, I'm just going to stay home for a little while and figure this whole thing out. You know, I don't want to go out and blow it and just kind of figure this out for myself and then be kind of choosy on where I go and read the menu before I leave. You know, things, that's what makes it difficult. However, there's a whole piece of it that's so easy, and you do get like rewards, like health rewards, like really soon, really, really soon, like 2 to 3 weeks, you're feeling better.
Yeah.
After a month, you're feeling even better. After 2 months, you've been feeling better. And you think you feel the best, but then 3 months, wow, I'm feeling the best I've felt in 15, 20 years, you know? And then I just hope it keeps on going. I don't know where we're going to end up.
That's what some of these doctors have told me. It just gets better and better. Someone told me that at day 100, and I thought they were lying because I felt so good. I can't possibly feel any better than this, but I do. Like, the gratitude increases, the energy improves. But you're right. It is those social situations make it hard. It makes it hard that we're living in a world where all of that's kind of normalized and we're the odd ones out. For me, I looked at it like an addiction. I was addicted to the standard American diet.
Yeah.
I couldn't moderate it. I couldn't stop. And it ruined my health. It ruined my mental health in particular. But any other addiction that I would have had, people would try to be helping me now, right? Like, I'm trying to quit alcohol. Oh, don't give them any alcohol. But with the food, it's just like, oh, come on, Diane, you can have a cupcake. What's it going to hurt? It's not going to hurt you, sort of thing.
Just start tomorrow. I was listening to your daughter's talk about starting tomorrow. Yeah. I love that. Alyssa, right?
Alyssa, yeah. She's got a little harsh in that one.
Yeah. Start now.
Right.
Don't start tomorrow.
I get that from so many people, or they'll say, I'm starting in 3 days. And in my head, I'm just like, yeah, I've been there a million times. The next 3 days, I would be eating all of the junk. Like, let's just binge. It's the last time, right? Better go get pizza. Better go get ice cream. Right. And then you build up all this stuff to just.
Just think of the damage you can do in 3 days, right? You can do a lot of damage.
Yeah.
Then you're starting it and you're in like a total fog.
Right.
You know, the carb fog.
Trying to reverse a bunch of last minute damage to get as if it's not hard enough to make the switch and then try to do that to make the switch. But what was it like? You mentioned your husband. What was it like for your husband, family, friends? It sounds like your husband's on board with you, which is awesome.
He's so funny because I do the cooking in the house and he just eats what I cook. Go on any diet where, you know, he might say, he would in the past be like, could you just make me a little something extra? You know, he would eat whatever I cooked with something extra, but he's really started. He's seen benefits. He had acid reflux. He had a lot of things that is really, he's cured, you know, and he's more, I would say keto-vore, but primarily carnivore with just a little bit. You know, and he's even thinking about cutting down even more. So he's seeing the benefit that he's feeling. And he lost a lot of weight. He's lost some weight. He really doesn't need to lose any weight. He's good where he is. We're both trying to work out. We get to the gym, lifting weights. He's lifting weights. We walk 2 miles a day, trying to get back into it since I had appendicitis and the other illness that I talked about. And so it's like getting back on the bandwagon again of working out.
Do you feel like you and your husband are going to eat this way forever going forward?
I think so. I know I am. I know I will eat this way forever because, you know, and you forget. So that's why I started writing things down on my notes app. When, you know, I'll put day, like today's 255, I'll put the day number, and then I put, you know, how I feel. And then even if I have a little something, like if I have some cheese or if I have some alcohol, which I probably have had alcohol since I started maybe 3 times, and each time it doesn't agree with me. So, you know, it helps to have it so I can look back and go, oh yeah, I really shouldn't do that, you know. But my son got married in September, our oldest son. And I wasn't going to have, but, you know, they had the champagne toast. I'm like, oh, I'll have a champagne toast. So I did. So I had probably 2 drinks. And the next day, you just feel that fatigue coming on. I feel like someone's put their hands on my shoulders and let's push me down. You just don't feel as light. You don't feel as happy and like you can move well. Right. You know, our youngest son lives in New York City, and we see him periodically. And the first time he came back after I started carnivore, it must have been 2 months. And he goes, Mom, he goes, you move differently. I said, are you serious? He's like, you move differently. You seem like quicker, or he couldn't really explain it. And then for my oldest son's wedding, I did a speech at the rehearsal dinner. And I memorized the whole thing from start to finish. I didn't think I would be able to do it. I had notes, but I did the whole thing. And same son came up to me and he said, Mom, you wouldn't have been able to do that 6 months ago. I know you wouldn't.
Wow.
So
that's
just
powerful.
It makes me feel so good that, you know, that he's noticing and other people are noticing that there is like a marked difference in my behavior and definitely how I feel inside, you know, but other people are noticing it, which is really encouraging.
Yeah. That's really powerful. Sometimes, you know, you see yourself every day, you look in the mirror every day, it's hard to see progress. But when you have 2 testimonies like that from both of your sons, that's incredible.
Right. And I would recommend people to write these things down because you do forget. And when you start to feel good, it becomes normal. And you don't realize how bad you felt before because it just becomes your everyday. Right. So if you have something like a little diary or just something, so even just like a few sentences a day or whatever, that helps. And it also helps if you are totally honest with it. And if you have if you have some foods that are not on the carnivore diet, to write that down so you can see how you felt the next day, because it is immediate.
Right. That's great advice. I always tell people too, especially when you're starting too, you can also write down your reason. Why are you doing this? There's just something about being intentional and putting a pen down to paper that makes it so much more powerful. So many people too, it's just like you said, I fix this, I fix this, I fix this. Oh, I forgot. I fixed that, and that too. Like you start to forget, it becomes normal. And then it gets scary because you get to a point where you've kind of healed all of the reasons that you started. And there's this temptation to, well, I'll just go back to moderation or whatever I was doing. And you're not remembering all those things that you overcame or are going to probably come back and maybe even worse.
Yeah. Doctor, is she a doctor? Lisa, she's from Connecticut. What's her last name?
Wiedemann.
Wiedemann. She has this thing, when your why makes you cry.
Yeah.
And I think that it has to be like that. Unfortunately, that unless the pain is so great that, I don't know, like to lose 10 pounds, do you think someone would do this to lose 10 pounds?
No.
To lose 100 pounds, yeah. Because you know all the health implications that comes with being 100 pounds overweight, and then how good you feel when you lose 100 pounds, right?
Right.
So that But not only that, it's the all the other stuff that you didn't even know you were going to heal.
Right.
That's the stuff that keeps you like, whoa, that's not happening anymore. MS too. There's a lot of like syndromes and things within MS that that you wouldn't know about. So there's something called Atoff syndrome. And this guy Atoff discovered it. That's why they call it that. But I don't know. It's when you go, when your core temperature goes above, and I think it's 0.5 degrees Fahrenheit, when your temperature goes up, something happens to the nerves that have been demyelinated. So in your brain, it's almost like you feel like you're short circuiting. So you become very, very fatigued. You want to curl up in a ball. You want to sit down in the shade. You want to put cold compresses on your neck and your wrists. And this has happened to me since 2016, like at every cookout, every time that it's been like super, super hard, I don't go outside. It happened to me at baseball games for my son. And this summer, besides not getting sunburned, I was walking my 2 miles a day in 85 degree weather. So I'm walking, and the first time it happened, it was like low 80s, and it was getting towards noontime, and I'm like, should I walk? Well, you know, I'm going to walk. I'll just come back if I get overheated. So I started walking, kept on walking, like, this isn't happening, and I'm walking. I did the full 2 miles. My husband was working from home. I like went downstairs, and I'm like, I don't have tufts anymore. It was gone. I was sweating, which I've not been able to sweat because you can't get your core temperature up that high. And from, I think it was the end of June, that's when that started. So it was March, April, May, June, 3 months. A tough went away. And I have not had it. It has not been a thing for me anymore. I have like cooling vests. You know, I have wrist things. I have towels that go around my neck. I even had one to sleep on when it got too hot in the summer. I slept on this big cooling pad and have not used any of them all summer.
Wow. That's crazy. That's powerful.
Yeah. And, you know, the dizziness, the balance issues, like at the gym, like I was never able to do sit-ups because going from lying down to sitting up like over and over again kind of made me nauseous and dizzy. And one day at the gym, I was doing my stretches. Then I started doing sit-ups and I'm thinking to myself, this is how you forget. I said, why don't I do this? This feels good. I'm like, oh my God, I couldn't do it. No, I couldn't do it. So, you know, I end all my workout sessions doing a few sit-ups and it doesn't bother me.
Wow. Do you feel, you touched on this a little bit, but do you feel your mental ability has changed? Like a lot of people talk about having brain fog before and being able to have stronger cognition afterwards. Have you noticed anything there?
Absolutely. The brain fog was huge. It was so bad that I was getting word retrieval problems. Like I'd begin a sentence and I wouldn't know how I was going to end the sentence. And I forgot how I began it. And, you know, for someone who spoke and listened for a living and communicated with people for a living, that's really debilitating. It's very scary, you know, to not be able to get my point across. And then not even know what my point was before the sentence was over, you know? So that was scary to me. And that is one of the main reasons why I started looking at YouTube for an answer. And because reading was actually getting hard for me too. I was looking at all these studies online and then I got to the point where reading and trying to comprehend what I was reading was getting difficult. So I went to YouTube and started punching in, you know, diet for MS, or, you know, started looking at a lot of Terry Walls things. And then I got into the carnivore diet. And that's why I did, because I wanted to help my brain, help my communication skills, help myself speak and listen And it was just going to a function or out with friends or whatever. It was difficult. The communication piece was difficult. And that was the fog. That was extreme brain fog.
Yeah.
It's gone.
That's awesome. That's a big one too that people should write down, because there a lot of people are like, oh, I knew I had brain fog before, but it's usually around 2 or 3 weeks too, which is really encouraging that I hear people say right around the 3 week mark, brain fog started to lift, or they had this sort of whoa moment. Was there a particular moment or turning point where you remember like, this is kind of crazy, this is different than I've ever felt before?
Yeah, I was looking at my phone earlier today, and like day 70 for some reason. So that would have been, you know, a little over 2 months. I wrote down, I feel better today than I've felt for 10 or 15 years. Yeah, it was day 70. Why day 70? I don't know. I guess that your body just heals and heals and heals and heals. After 9 days, that was another turning point that I'm like, wow, I'm less fatigued. And then after, like you said, 3 weeks, I felt the same thing. But there's these certain points where you just kind of wake up and you feel like, I was thinking of this too. It's like, you know, the first day, you live in a cold climate too. The first day in the spring where the sun is shining and you don't have to wear a coat outside and you can go outside and you feel the sun on your face and you can breathe the air and it's warm. And it gives you that uplifted feeling. That's kind of what, when the fatigue and the brain fog goes away, that's kind of like what I feel. It's like that.
Right.
This feels good, yeah. You know? But you don't notice that you're there unless it's really bad. So you can have that fatigue that's kind of like putting you down a little bit, or you could have the brain fog that you just kind of like, I'm just feeling not right. But if it's not really bad, you don't even know it's happening, right? Until it gets pretty severe.
Right. Yeah, I think we normalize it too. Just, you have that brain fog for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. So it's just the way it is kind of thing. You can't even see it anymore until you get out of it sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And so in the mood thing too, it's like, you know, I was diagnosed with depression, but just like a mild, mild depression, a little anxiety, nothing really terrific, nothing really too bad, but just, you know, just a little bit. That lifted, you know, there's no depression. And it's really, I didn't notice it until your meetup. It was interesting because I was on the plane coming home. I never had a social anxiety to speak of. Like I would never say, yeah, I have social anxiety. However, before a big event, before a big party or before anything, I would get like kind of nervous. Okay, what am I wearing? Who am I gonna talk to? And then sometimes during the event, I'd feel a little bit shy. Like, oh, what am I gonna talk about? Like I'd have this, it wasn't huge, because I've worked with people with social anxiety and it can be totally debilitating. But I think I had a touch of it because at your meetup, I didn't feel it at all, you know? And I think it was just being with a bunch of carnivores too, because their energy is through the roof, right? And you just, everyone is, you know, and then eating dinner with everyone. Nobody's having a drink. No one's having mashed potatoes. No one's was just eating meat, right? So it's just all the same. You're right. Sharing the same meal, which was wonderful.
Yeah, you're like, I'm with my people now. This is nice.
Yeah,
there is something to that carnivore energy, that carnivore zen. It's like you get almost a second chance at life, and then to be in a group of other people that had a second chance at life too. There's something about it. I don't know, but I'm hooked on those meetups, hanging out with other carnivores. That energy is just great.
Yours was the first one I went to. So I've never been to, went to one before. I mean, I'd love to go to more. Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you know, in terms of your MS, did they give you a cause? Is it a fluke? Is it just you get it? Do you feel like you would have gotten MS if you were eating a proper human diet your whole life? Or is it just, you're not sure?
doctors and medical community say it's a fluke. Me, now that I've been doing this, I think that if I had eaten a proper human diet my whole life, I don't think I would have gotten it. And I think that my history of what I used to eat and how I was a chronic dieter and would just, you know, restrict calories and low fat, low fat, low fat, low fat for a lot of my life. I think maybe it didn't cause it, but I think it contributed to it.
Right.
That's my own thought. I think that if I had been eating high fat meat, I wouldn't have gotten this.
That's incredible. That's one of the things I've talked to so many carnivores, myself included. It wasn't until I added that fat back in that I feel like that was the missing. I feel like I was deficient in fat, which sounds crazy because everyone's like, cholesterol, fat, it's going to kill you. But
right,
because I did a ketogenic vegetable-based diet for a long time and I was miserable. I still had arthritis and I still had depression and I still had the stomach issues. Mm-hmm. But when I got that fat, it's like all my hormones balance. It's like your body's just like, yes, that is it right there. That was the missing sort of piece. And it goes back to what we were saying earlier, like since the start of time, we were eating fat. We were eating meat primarily. So
kind of, it's so funny. I think of you when I make a steak and how you do this every time.
Right.
But that's the feeling. That's definitely the feeling of like, yes.
Yep.
I had an incident like a year and a half ago where I wasn't able to eat for a whole month and very, very little. And I lost 20 pounds really quickly. And if you had asked me like 2 years ago, I'd be like, yeah, that'd be good not to lose 20 pounds really quickly. But I was sick and I couldn't eat. And I ended up with rheumatoid arthritis. I ended up with ulcers in my esophagus. And it's interesting because I think back to that. And as the month went on and I was hospitalized, and after the hospital, I was like, I just want a steak. I don't know why I had that thought. I want a steak. I couldn't really eat a steak yet, but I was like craving the meat. And I'm just wondering if that's just like a natural thing that we just crave meat, beef,
right.
Because it was really strong. So much that my son made me a steak. He's like, I'm gonna make you, as soon as I could eat it, he made me a steak.
My wife Jen's been mostly, she's carnivore now for well over 200 days, doing really well, but mostly vegetarian most of her life. But when she had our triplets, who are 17 now, she just got these crazy intense cravings for burgers, beef, ground beef, fatty meat, basically.
When she was pregnant?
Yeah.
Wow. Did she eat it?
She did. Yeah.
She
wasn't like ever strict vegetarian, but given like her choices, it would always be no meat, no meat, no meat, no meat. And it was that and pickles. You know, when women are pregnant, they get weird cravings.
Yeah.
pickles and meat. But I'm like, that makes sense. Like imagine the hormones and stuff that's going on in your body when you're about to deliver triplets. Like it's gotta be some craziness going on.
She needed the salt. That's the pickle. She needed the salt.
Yeah.
The electrolytes, right? And the steak. She was building three people.
Right.
You know, she needed that.
Quick interruption. Thank you so much for watching. If you're interested in learning more about our documentary, Healing Humanity, The Power of a Proper Human Diet, or supporting it, please visit donate.healinghumanity.movie. Our goal is to reach millions of people that are hopeless right now, and sharing the examples of real people over the course of 1 year that are undertaking a proper human diet to overcome obesity, type 2 diabetes, depression, anxiety, fertility issues. We couldn't do it without you. We thank you so much. We are also selling these shirts, Healing Humanity, The Power of a Proper Human Diet. Every penny we get from those goes towards the documentary. And last, we have memberships. If you click the little join button, it's best to do it on desktop. Under any one of my YouTube videos, you can join and become a member. We have hundreds of members right now. We do members only videos. We do members only behind the scenes. You can email me as a member and I'll answer you. And every penny from that goes to support the documentary. And the last thing is we have these Redmond's portable salt shakers. These things are awesome. You can get the best salt. You can take it with you.
We sell these on the website along with our water bottles and cutting boards, and every penny from all of those goes 100% towards supporting the documentary. You can also sign up for our newsletter, which is completely free. All of these links are in the description below. Thank you so much for your support. Now back to today's video.
Needed those building blocks. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
You mentioned Dr. Lisa Wiedemann earlier. I had her on the channel not too long ago. She is awesome. You know, she has been doing carnivore for like 15, almost 16 years.
That's amazing.
Her and Dr. Kiltz, I don't know anyone that's done carnivore longer other than Rancher Maggie that we filmed for a documentary. She's been eating carnivore for 65
years. She's amazing. She looks like she's about 60, in her 50s yeah. maybe, depending on, you know. And what is she, 83.
I can't wait for you, Diane, and everyone to see the footage, because people see like pictures in a little bit, but her energy, Maggie's energy. So Maggie's 83-year-old carnivore, been eating carnivore for 65 years. No vegetables, no fruit, no sugar, nothing for 65 years. Her energy, though, she's like a, I had to keep reminding myself, I feel like I'm talking to a teenager. Like, her energy was just through the roof. And just like, I could barely keep up with her, but her energy was almost more so like, this is crazy. But I noticed that energy in Dr. Kiltz when he came to our meetup, and he's been doing carnivore longer than anyone I've ever met. And then recently we had Dr. Wiedemann on, and I met her in person once before, and it took me a second. I'm like, there's something special about you in terms of your energy. She has the Maggie energy and the Dr. Kiltz energy, just this crazy
that's
energy.
Amazing.
And she's been doing carnivore for 15, 16 years. So I'm like, maybe it's a coincidence. The three people I know that have the most energy, more so than anybody I've ever met in my whole life, all three of them are carnivore and been doing it for a really, really long time. So kind of gives me hope for doing this long term.
Yes, I was just thinking that there's hope for us.
Yeah.
Well, get better and better and better.
That and too, like you mentioned, you know, writing stuff down, but that has been my other big why, because I've healed so much on carnivore. It's really tempting for people that find all this healing to fall back to their old ways. But that's what I look forward to, is aging, not having mobility issues, not getting cancer. I might get cancer, but I think the odds of it are less. Dementia, Alzheimer's, I might get those things, but I think the odds of it are so much less. There's so much evidence just having this chronic inflammation for years and years leads to cancer, Alzheimer's, dementia, mobility issues, arthritis, all of these things. And you and I, our bodies aren't chronically inflamed anymore, because we're not putting those crazy seed oils and sugar and all that stuff in there. So that's my that's sort of my pitch for people to think about the long-term why as well, and not just the immediate one. That was my big epiphany too on carnivores. People are dying in their 70s right now. Dr. Chafee, Maggie said this. Maggie said she thinks she's going to live to be 120. She said, you can laugh at me if you want. And Dr. Chafee said, all the science points to humans should be living into their 100s. No problem. There's lots of science that shows it. The only reason we're not is because we're chronically inflamed and we're eating all this stuff that we shouldn't be eating. So
people are like, oh, I'm just getting old.
Yeah.
Just getting old. The knees aren't working, the hips aren't working, whatever it is. But it's interesting because, yeah, I wouldn't mind living a little longer than average. However, I just want to feel good while I'm here.
Yes.
You know,
that's the big one.
I want to feel good to the end. Whatever the end is, I just want to feel good to the end. That's all. You know, I don't want to be in a wheelchair, stuffed in a corner. You know, it's not the way I want to live. I want to be able to talk to people and listen to people and hug people and, you know, just be with people. I don't want to be solitary. Because when you don't feel good, you feel like being solitary. You feel like being by yourself because, first of all, you're embarrassed that you're not the same person that you were, right? You kind of get a little embarrassed about that. And then, you know, something like MS, it's the communication piece. Like, you want to be able to listen and you want to be able to answer. You want to be able to speak. You don't want to slur your words. You don't want to be like that.
Right.
It's hard.
That is so true. That's a powerful statement. When you don't feel good, when you're sick, you're solitary. That's what I was before carnivore too. Like, we literally moved out into the woods as far away from people as we could because I didn't want to be by anybody. That's the truth too. I'm like, let's just, I was like a hermit. And now it's the complete opposite. It's so true. It's like when, because you're sick, for one thing. So you don't want to be around people for that reason. But when you think about the opposite, like you were just saying, these meetups, this energy, it's like you want to be with people. You want to have that connection. It's so, life is so much better that way, having those connections and making friends with people and the community.
And it's so funny because you recognize people. You never met them before, and yet you recognize them. Like, I don't know how many times I heard, do I know you? Did I meet you? And then I was starting to look around and like, wait a minute, that person looks familiar. It's like you almost recognize, I don't know if you're recognizing the energy. It must be.
Right, right.
Because it's familiar to you because you don't see it everywhere. You know, yeah. Everyone is happy and joyful and wanting to connect to people. And, you know, it was just great. You had the big screen and taking pictures and all of that. And that whole meet and greet beforehand was just so much fun. So many people.
That would be a fun sort of test. Like, let's just spot inflammation, standard American diet, carnivore. There's something there. Cause you know, like we were talking about.
A game show.
Right. Right. There's something there with recognizing people, though. We were talking about the pregnancy earlier, and I remember Jen. I remember my sister when she delivered my nephew. Just this glow, like, right? It's hormones, whatever it is, but yes. There's a glow, and I swear carnivores have that glow, too, and it's probably hormones because our hormones are hormones. Normal.
Yeah, right, because cholesterol and fat helps your hormones to be at the right level.
Yeah, so I always tell people that. It was once I got the fatty meat, my hormones balanced. I feel like my testosterone went up, my immune system got stronger, my sleep improved, which is based on hormones. It's all of those things that we're deficient in. You get back in there and start fixing. So
I put this together, Carrie, because you mentioned sleep. I also had sleep medication. This is my...
Oh, nice. That's impressive. Nice, huh? Look, we can compare.
We can.
Yours is wider. Oh, did the sleep medication ever help you?
There was a point where I was taking a lot of sleep medication and I wasn't sleeping.
Yeah.
At first it did, but then you take, you know, more milligrams and then they add another medication to it. And then you're taking several different medications and then you're taking one for pain and then you're taking one for this. And there was time when I was taking a lot of medication and not like up all night staring at the ceiling.
Oh. I remember those nights.
You had that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, and then I got off all of them. And, you know, I think stopping working was huge too. Cause I would wake up, you know, being a therapist, I would wake up in the middle of the night worried about people that I talked to or that I was going to talk to and that were going through something. So it was like you had a family of people that had all these issues and you were worried about all of them. It was just way too much for me to deal with, you know, I guess maybe the personality that I have, or maybe having the illness too kind of contributed to it, or maybe that contributed to the illness. I don't know, but it was just a bad combination. But sleep was huge. And now I sleep like a baby. Well, actually no, babies don't sleep. My baby's never slept. I sleep like a proper human. How's that? Like,
That's perfect. That is so huge. I used to have the same thing. I was on all the sleep medicine and I would end up, I had a bout of a year with insomnia. I'd just sit there and stare at the ceiling and I'd just like, please fall asleep. And the thing that was so horrible about that was I knew that if I ever got good sleep in the years prior, my depression anxiety would be a little bit less the next day. So I'm like, this sleep is tied to depression anxiety. It's also tied to my immune system. And getting sick and all those other things. So yeah, it was the worst thing. Just sitting there staring at the ceiling, just knowing, okay, I'm going to be depressed. I'm going to be anxious and my immune system is going to be weaker tomorrow. And then it's going to snowball into the next day and the next day and the next day.
And it's also tied to your cortisol, your adrenals, and your insulin levels. So you can gain weight just by not sleeping.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And you don't even have to eat any different.
Right. So much of this, in retrospect, that I've learned is it's just carnivore is great. Carnivore is amazing. But really, I think what it is we're just kind of getting back to what's natural for humans. It's like it's so simple when you think of it that way. Eat proper foods that we're intended to eat, not these crazy seed oils and toxins. Get sunshine, get exercise. It's amazing what heals. I can't believe we've been talking for an hour already. This has been great.
No, Diane. We haven't. That's wild.
One last question for you. I have a lot of new people that are watching my channel that are considering carnivore, but like you said earlier, this is crazy. You can't just eat only meat. What advice would you give to someone if they're suffering or they have mental health issues, depression, anxiety, or whatever it may be, and they're considering carnivore, but they think it's crazy?
Some people have better luck starting with keto and cutting down the carbs to like 20 carbs a day so that you're not going into the keto flu or feeling very ill. Other people just start right away. I love what Alyssa said. Start now. Don't start tomorrow. Start right now and make sure you have salt and electrolytes, first of all. And I would say do it for 30 days. I think 30 days is magical because you get a lot of those wins first 3 weeks at the 3 week marks. Then you can kind of like get the wins, go for another week, and then make a decision after that, seeing how is my life different than it was 30 days ago. And I really guarantee that if you've actually been following it and sticking to it strictly, and that's another thing, don't do it halfway. If you just, you know, I'll eat a steak, but I'll have whatever, you know, I'll have my cereal in the morning and steak at night. You can't do that. You can't do that. You have to do it totally, strictly, and do it for 30 days. At the end of 30 days, evaluate, because you can do anything for 30 days and it's not going to hurt you.
Right.
If you think that I can't go without my vegetables, it won't be healthy. You could go without your vegetables for 30 days and you'll be fine. You'll be more than fine.
Right. Great advice. That's exactly what I would have said too. Do it 100% too, like Diane said.
100%. Yeah.
People like come to me and they're like, I did it 95%. It didn't work. I'm like, this isn't like Weight Watchers or counting calories. You're either carnivore or you're not. You're either in ketosis or you're not, sort of thing.
Right.
And the 30 days is, people that say I could never do it for 30 days, I'm like, come on. You could do anything. There's nothing special about us. You could do anything for 30 days.
No, it'll go by. Eat a lot of steak, a lot of hamburger, 6 eggs, a dozen eggs if you want. Eat as much as you want.
Yeah.
Because you're going to get full and then you're not going to want to eat anymore.
It could change your life forever. Let you feel what it's like to be alive, maybe for the first time in your life. That was the thing for me. I'm like, I wasn't even living before this, and it's a brain fog stupor. Now I'm actually living, sort of thing. So
can you imagine if the whole world were carnivores?
Oh my goodness. It'd be amazing. Imagine the energy, the zen. Oh, it'd be incredible. It'd be incredible. I'm just hoping we can at least get this next generation of kids on board, because that's what really breaks my heart, is getting these young kids hooked on sugar early. Because I ate pretty bad to get here.
Of your kids, 3 out of 4 are they all carnivore?
3 out of 4 are. My fourth one is today, but wasn't yesterday and will be tomorrow. She keeps flip flopping, so it's better than what she's on the right track. My fourth one is, my older one is struggling a little bit. But actually, she brought me, just before we jumped on this call, she brought me burger patties because she went to get burger patties. She was where she was working. She was getting some, so. She's pretty darn close. My thing that I'm happy with is she did carnivore for 30 days and had really good success. Then she went back to keto, moderation, and kind of fell off. But my long story short, I'll end it with this. She has this as a tool in her toolbox. And if she ever gets horrible depression, anxiety like I had, she has this as a tool in her toolbox now. And she knows it works, sort of thing. But
and she has you to look to, you know?
Yeah. And I never shut up about it. So. And now Alyssa's doing it. All the triplets are all doing it too. So yeah, she's got a lot of encouragement, so to speak.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So Diane, if people watch this and they want to learn more about you, do you have any social media or anything you want to share? Or if not, that's fine.
Not yet. Okay. Yeah, not yet. And I talked to Dr. Kiltz and he's like, why don't you have a channel? I'm like, I don't know. So it might be in the works.
Okay. Maybe after this one, I got to be careful because I always tell people, do a channel. It is a lot of work. So fair notice, right. But it's very rewarding. This is a good entry because you'll see on this video, once it goes live, there's going to be a whole bunch of comments like, Diane, you inspired me. Diane, your story fired me up. And that is I'm addicted. The only thing I'm addicted to on Carnivore is hearing these stories of people healing. The more examples we put out there, the better. But yeah, your story is really inspiring. So I'm sure it'll inspire a lot of people through those comments.
Well, thank you, Kerry. Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it. This was fun. I enjoyed talking to you.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I can't believe an hour went by already. Thank you so much, Diane.
All right.
Open invite. We'll have to do it again sometime in the future.
Well, maybe go to my doctor tomorrow. So we'll see what she says and we'll see how the medication goes. So
yeah, if you don't mind, shoot me a little update. I'd love to hear. Yeah. I'm sure it'll all be positive. Thank you so much, Diane. Have a good day.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye. Bye.